a pleasure to again be in the house of God this morning. I want to greet each one in the precious name of Jesus, the one that made it possible for us to gather in this way. Appreciate the Sunday school lesson that we had this morning about being courageous, being strong. We recognize that our strength comes from God. We can never face the enemy in our own strength. This morning, I was thinking during the week what to bring. It seems like what little bit of news I do hear, there's such strange things going on in this world. And our thoughts went to God and how God does not change. He's eternal. So the title for the message this morning is Contrasting Our Unchanging God with the Changing World. We do live in a time when there's very, very much change taking place in the world. Change in, we'll get into that more later, but we cannot say that everything is exactly the same as it always has been, in a sense, because evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, just like the Bible said. But I have this message in two different parts. First, we want to think about God, some of his attributes. First off, God is completely, totally holy. In Isaiah 6 and verse 3, the cherubims were there in this vision that Isaiah saw around the thrones, crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And Isaiah was, he just felt like he was about a dead man because he saw the Lord in his glory. But God today is just as holy as he ever was. He will never lose any of his holiness. And he cannot become more holy because he is completely holy. So we have a blessing there in knowing that God is completely holy. He's the holy God, the one that we serve, the only true God. And he is eternal. In Exodus 3, when God called Moses to deliver the children of Israel, I believe I'll just turn to that to read two verses there. Exodus, the third chapter, verses 13 and 14. Moses was wanting to know who he was supposed to say that sent him for that tremendous work that he was called to do. Exodus 3:13, and Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. I am." You know, only God can say that. He is eternal. And my mind fails to comprehend all that. From eternity past, God was. To eternity future, God will be. He is the I am. Deuteronomy 33:27 speaks of God as the eternal God. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And I know, brother, we cannot comprehend all that, but it's true. And we can be so thankful that it is true. That God is everlasting. He's eternal. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. He said, that's why you're not consumed, because I am the Lord and I change not. James 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's no variableness. You know, a lot of times we can change our mind. We think we know what's best, and then we have to say, well, no, that's I was wrong there. But with God, there's no varying. Doesn't need to be, because He's all-knowing, He's eternal, He's our Creator, He's always been, He knows the end from the beginning. And so there's not a bit of varying with God. He's always the same. The shadows that we see change a little bit during the day, but neither shadow of turning. If you can see God's shadow as far as who he is and his being, it's always the same. That shadow would not turn at all. And that's a real blessing to us as we think of God. When we think of the fact that God is eternal, then we realize that this book here is eternal also. The message here is eternal. Yeah, this book will someday, the book itself will be gone, but the message in the Bible is just as sure as God himself. And that's something that, brothers and sisters, that we need to be completely convinced of this morning. That the message in the Bible is eternal. It will never change. Matthew 24, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You know, we think of the earth as being solid. Every once in a while, the Lord lets it tremble and shake and gets our minds back to the fact that it isn't so solid. But there's something this morning, brothers and sisters, that is absolutely solid, and that's the message between the covers of this book. It's truth. It's from God. It will never change. Psalm 138, verse 2. Thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. The name of God is high and exalted. There's no other name that comes near to equaling God's name. But yet, God has exalted his word above his name. The challenge for us this morning, brothers and sisters, is that we accept this eternal word that God has given us, so that we're not affected by the changes that we see in the world, which we will talk about later. First Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And as we, as a person takes this word and allows its message to enter their heart, we can be born again. We can be changed from a sinner to a saint. We can be made new creatures in Christ Jesus, because this message is true. It's a message from God, and it changes our life. It changes our heart to where we can have communion with God. And that's the change that God wants to see. We enjoy many blessings because the Bible is God's eternal word, and it always stays the same. It gives us stability. In Ephesians chapter 4, the apostle was writing about the different gifts that we find in the church. It says that we henceforth be not cast to and fro. How does it say here? Ephesians 4 verses 11 through 16. Till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So, the word, as we meditate on it day and night, like we were studying in our Sunday school class, will give us a stability. We will know what we believe. We will know why we believe it. And we will put it to practice in our lives, in our daily lives. Hebrews 13, verse 9 says that the heart may be established with grace. Established with grace. That's what the word will do for us. Also, 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, as we go into God's word and his Holy Spirit directs us into the truth of the word, we can understand God's will, and it's that causes stability in our lives. We're not drifting from here to there and back again. There's a stability that we can enjoy in following the Lord. Also, in the book of 1 John, sometime just sit down and read the entire book and notice how often the Apostle John says, "We know. By this we know." What's more pleasant and wonderful than to know that our relationship with the Lord is what it needs to be? Ignorance is not bliss. Some people would say it is. Well, you know, I'm innocent because I didn't know. But no, that's not the way it is. When we know that we're in the right standing with God, we're very blessed. Truth. We anchor our belief and practice in the eternal Word of God. Also, We another blessing is the peace and joy that we can have in our hearts because of knowing God. I believe all the parents here this morning would agree with me that our children are most peaceful when they know what they expect of us as parents. If one day they're allowed to do something and the next day they get spanked for doing the very same thing under the same conditions, they don't know what to expect. It brings unrest. Well, God in His faithfulness has given us His Word, and that brings peace and joy as we follow that, because we know it's God's will. There's no question. God in His love has not left us without the testimony of His Holy Spirit. He gives us peace and joy. Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Also, another blessing of allowing God to rule our lives and allow the Bible to be our guide is a confidence that we can have. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal." Now this is the seal. "The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So, to me, and I'm sure it is to y'all too, that to know that the Lord knows those that are His is a real comfort. It's a real blessing. And we can know if we're His or not. It says here, "The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal." And I believe that seal is the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, according to the book of Ephesians and also in Galatians, I believe it is, speaks of the fact that the Holy Spirit is a seal upon the lives of God's children. It's the earnest of our inheritance, it says at one place, which is the down payment. You know, we're still on planet Earth. We haven't been taken to heaven yet. So while we're here, God in His faithfulness has given us His Holy Spirit as a down payment of what is to come. And that gives us joy, it gives us peace, it gives us confidence. As we live here and face the realities of life, we have our confidence in the Word of God and in the promises that He has for us. Also, another blessing is the hope of the future. Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 14, just prior of his crucifixion, says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Where I am, there you may be also." So, we think of God and His who He is, His Word, and how we can be so blessed in taking heed to His Word. Then we want to change now to think about the changing world. There are many changes in the world today. I believe Brother Marvin would agree with me that in our short lifetime that we've seen many changes. And I'm sure that even now, the younger ones are even seeing changes today. But it seems to me like people are much more bold in sinning today than what they were back when I was a youngster. Maybe I was just ignorant of what all went on. But during Obama's presidency, gross moral sin seem to be glorified. That's the way it appears to me. Many people now openly and without shame let it be known what kind of lifestyle they're living. You know, it's just things that we just hadn't never heard of. Not openly. I'm sure that probably some of those same things were going on, because it was all the way back in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and God destroyed them for it. But like it said in the newspaper one time about coming out of the closet with these things, you know, it's people openly, without shame, are involved in gross sins. And it seems to me like such a change from what we used to see. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." So times are changing. The lifestyle of the people in the world is changing because the devil is so in control of their lives that they're getting bold in their lifestyle that they're living. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Let's begin reading at verse 21. Romans 1, verse 21. Before this, he was speaking about how that mankind is without excuse. You can see the creation. And the end of verse 20 says, "So that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie." Can we imagine, brothers and sisters, we shudder at that. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and we see it happening in our day to day. And what effect is it having on us? Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave him up unto vile affections. I believe we're seeing that today in our day and time. God is giving people up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use in that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Yes, God allows a person to take his own way and go deeper and deeper into sin, but they pay the consequences. Verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind," or a mind that's void of judgment, "no longer can think straight, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Quite a list here. To me, it looks like just going deeper and deeper and deeper into sin until there's just no understanding anymore of right or wrong. here in this country, we have young people who have never heard of Jesus. You might say, well, are you sure of that? Well, in the Billboard Evangelism, you got a call from a young person. You wonder, well, who is Jesus? I never heard of him. So I know it's true. And if there's one like that, there's probably many more. And so people go farther and farther and farther into sin until God gives them over to a reprobate mind. Is any wonder that we see changes in this world today in the lack of morals and the lack of fearing God? You know, when I was in public school, 7th grade through the 10th, every morning we'd first go to homeroom. That's where the roll would be called. Bible was read. There was prayer. And I think we had about 15 minutes there. From there, then we'd go out to our classes. You think you'd find a Bible in a public school today? Better not be read there in the buildings anyways. But you know what they do have? Police cars sitting around trying to keep order. Has there been a change? Definitely. It reminds me today of how it was back in Jeremiah's day when the role Jeremiah was given a message by God. God told him to write this message, the roll of the book. And when this came to the king, he was sitting there, it was cold, he had a fire going. I think he said he read four pages, or read some pages. He took these four pages with his penknife and cut them out, cut the pages out of the book, threw it in the fire. That's the situation we see today. Many teachings from the Bible are being discarded, are being pushed aside. I believe most of us have seen the tract about seven teachings that are no longer being taught. They're just being ignored. Why is that? Well, partly because people don't want to hear it. But you know, there's just so many changes. Preacher Ted Page here in Georgia, Baptist minister, when a man that divorced his wife and wanted to remarry came to him for him to marry them, he said no. He said, that's sinful. I can't do it. In a nominal church today, you think we'd hear a preacher refuse to marry someone that was divorced? I think you'd probably have to look pretty far. We see a lot of changes. Brethren, when God's holy word is rejected, trampled on, and mocked, there's only one direction that will take a person, and that is away from God. It will take the church away from God. It will take the nation away from God. We can't mock God by cutting pages out of his word, so to speak, and get by with it. I believe that is why the world is changing so fast today, because they're rejecting more and more of the truth of God's word. And that curve of deceit is getting sharper and sharper. You know, sometimes change comes slowly. I think quite often it's that way. But that that curve of deceit in the world is getting sharper and sharper. The world looks for peace, but they have rejected the Prince of Peace, so they cannot have peace, not true peace. In the world today, there's, I would almost say, no absolutes whatsoever. Maybe there's a few yet. But it gets all the way down to the point where a man, and this is true, it's happening, a man in Holland is suing to get his age changed. 69-year-old man, he wants to be 49. He said, I'm being discriminated against. He said, I can't get a job that pays as much at 69 as I could at 49. And it also hinders my online dating. Can you imagine? So he's suing to have his age changed back to 49. And, you know, he did make a point. He said, we live in an age where we choose our gender and we choose our name. And, yeah, we're living in a time when there's no absolutes. But yeah, there are some absolutes, and that is right here, the Word of God. It's absolutely true. It's absolutely eternal. It will never pass away. And I think for us as Christians, for us as a congregation here, will we be affected by the change that we see in the world? Is that change going to slowly, slowly creep in and have its effect on us? Oh, my prayer is that no, that God would spare us from this. But brothers and sisters, we must be courageous and strong to stand for truth. Yeah, people might look at us cross-eyed or kind of sideways if we stand for truth. But brothers and sisters, truth will stand eternally. And our eternal destiny depends on accepting truth. If we accept the truth and live by it, we can enjoy the bliss of heaven. If we reject this message from God, if we're going to change and go toward the world, we cannot have that hope. We cannot have the blessing of being with God. Does sin appear exceedingly sinful to us this morning? Brothers and sisters, sin is against God. And anything that is contrary to the teaching of the Word of God is sin. Oh, may we be very, very careful that we do not become accustomed to sinful practices. I believe our daily prayer should be that God would give us a godly hatred for sin, that he would deliver us from evil like Jesus prayed there in the garden. In John chapter 17. I think there's some questions that we need to ask ourselves. Do the fads and fashions of this world have a pull on us? You know, the things that Scripture says that what's highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. So, the designer clothes and things that are just for luxury, for look who I am, look at me, how I'm dressed. Do those things have a pull on us? Now, I'm not saying that we can't dress neatly. I think we should. As Christian people, we surely want to represent the kingdom of God in an acceptable way. And there's no virtue in going around sloppy and dirty, and that will turn people away from the truth. But the fads and fashions of this world, do they have a pull on us? Are we, am I, using Bible principles to govern my choices in every area of my life? The vehicle I drive, the clothes that I wear, the music I listen to. Am I allowing Bible principles to govern my choices in these things? Oh, it's so very important that we do. Anything that doesn't glorify God, who does it glorify? And we surely don't want to try to glorify ourselves. If we do, why, we're giving over to Satan and what he wants of us. Am I truly separated unto God, saying no to the world and all that it offers? You know, just to have a code of dress and say, this is my salvation, that's completely wrong. Completely wrong. Are we separated unto God, saying no to the world and it all that it offers? When we're separated unto God, we'll live a life that pleases God. That will be our desire. We won't try to glorify ourselves. We won't try to do anything that displeases God. Jesus' his own testimony when he was in this world was, I always do those things that please my Father. That should be our testimony too. Am I taking up my cross daily and following Christ? You know, that's a real challenge. You take up a cross daily and follow Christ. Without it, without doing that, we cannot be Jesus' disciple. Without doing that, we have no hope in eternity. In closing, I just want to turn to Romans 8 and read two verses here at the end of the chapter. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, I'm thankful for that promise this morning, that we can have the assurance of being faithful if we will avail ourselves of the provisions that God has made for us. But brothers and sisters, we must choose every day and how many times a day to faithfully follow the Lord. Whenever a temptation comes up, whatever, we choose to follow the Lord. And when we do that, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Let's kneel for prayer.